We've each got baggage. Deep inside, we're broken, we're hurt and damaged. Each one of us just looking for a way to manage our lives. How can this world be good if it's just full of hurting and cries and endless lies accompanied with sighs? Each one of us just looking to be satisfied. We're searching for something that we can hang on to and believe in. Something that will fit in with our own agenda, that won't require us to surrender. We're a people that continually fail to remember the importance and the significance of the 25th of December. On this day, a Saviour was born. This was something that was expected, but that was just so out of the norm. He was delivered into a stable that was oh so far from warm, and his name is Jesus the Messiah. Of this coming, we had been warned. Jesus grew up and began to walk on this very planet. But it wasn't until he started to heal the blind and sick that these people began to realize that there was a meaning behind all of this. He came to share and to show his love for us. And all he wants in return is our complete trust. We must continually strive to seek him more. To not just include him occasionally, but to make him Lord of all. Because at the age of 33, he did the unthinkable for you and for me. When stood alongside a man called Barabbas, the crowd were asked, "Who do you want to see be free?" The crowd cheered for Barabbas and demanded that Jesus was to be hung on a tree. You see, the verdict had been laid. He was despised. He was rejected by the very species that he had made, by the very people that he came to save. He was beaten and whipped till he was so weak that he couldn't walk or talk. And he was raised up on a Roman cross, ready to face death. Robbers and criminals on his right and on his left. His disciples watched on him what they thought must have been a complete and utter mess. But in this moment, as Jesus died, his words were, "It is finished." So the work had been done. For the world that he was sent to win, he had won. He was brought down from that cross and he was put in a tomb to rot. But what the guards didn't realize is this was the Son of the living God. And against all the odds, Jesus rose from the dead. Yet when appearing to his friends, some of them doubted instead. A man called Thomas, he needed proof. He needed some evidence to know that this was the truth. To which Jesus showed his hands and his side and said, "Look what I went through." Thomas had to physically touch. And in this moment, he realized this was the true King who loved him so, so much. So, this is where the salvation story began. This was his plan. This was one man, willing to die, so that me and you, we can be forgiven for our lies, so that we no longer have to go through life and continually sigh or cry, but we get to be in his family, we get to be his bride. And he came not for some, but he came for everyone. And God has opened heaven's door for even the marginalized, the rejected, the weak and the poor. God has something incredible in store. A place where there will be no hurting, no weeping or war. A place where we get to live forever with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That cross that symbolized ultimate devastation, God has flipped it on its head. It now symbolizes restoration. And in one act of ultimate affection, Jesus offers new life for all, with meaning and direction.
Hello. Hi. I'm just going to sort myself out, and then I'll be right with you. I don't know if I'm being controversial or not standing behind the lectern, but it scares me a little bit, so. So I'm Anna. Some of you may know me, some of you may not. It's really nice to see you all, and thank you for having us to speak to you tonight. It's really nice to share with you. Just a bit about me. I am engaged to James, who shared that spoken word with you, and I'm a youth worker. I work at Heaton Baptist Church, and I also work with the Salvation Army. And I love what I do. It's brilliant. Have loads and loads of fun. But yes, it's lovely to be with you tonight. I thought we'd just start. I don't know what kind of day you've had and where your head's at and where your heart's at, but I just thought we'd start with just a bit of quiet, just for 30 seconds, just to, I guess, centre ourselves on what God wants to say and what he might want to do here tonight. So we're just going to have a moment of quiet. Jesus, we just welcome you here and ask that you would move in power. I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear what you want to say to us tonight. God, thank you that you speak to us and that you're present. Amen. So like I said, it's really nice to be with yous. Recently, God has been reminding me of who I am in Christ, and I'm just going to share a little bit about that tonight. I've been feeling a little bit lost in my relationship with God over the past maybe like month or so, and I've found that when I feel a bit lost in my relationship with God, or when I'm in the busyness of life, and I've got a million things to do and stuff that just takes over, it's in that time, that I think we'll lose the truth of who we are and who we are in Christ, and it's so easy to forget. So I just want to share a little bit of what God has reminded me over the past few months, over the past month with you. I guess it's just a little bit of my testimony. So we are lots of things in Christ. He says that we're lots of things, but I just want to focus on two. So the first one is that we are greatly loved. We are in Christ, and when we're in Christ, we are greatly loved. I read a quote the other day that said that Christians find it easier to believe that God exists than that God loves them. And I don't know if tonight that is true for you. 1 John 3 verse 16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." And when I've been in this feeling, in this place of feeling quite lost, this is the verse that I've always come back to. It's been really, really encouraging. When I've questioned whether I'm loved, whether God's there, this is the verse that I've come back to. We are so greatly loved by a Jesus who gave his life for us. And because Jesus gave his life for us, we can experience the love of a father. Brennan Manning says, "For his love is never, never, never based on our performance, never conditioned by our moods of elation or depression. The furious love of God knows no shadow of alteration or change. It is reliable and always tender." And so much of our life is based on our performance. So I compare myself to others based on my abilities, on my appearance, on my status, how many likes I might get on Instagram, and we let our worth and our sense of completeness be defined by these things and what others think of us. I don't know if anyone else struggles with that, but I know that that is something that I struggle with and that is true for me. And when I feel like that, when I'm so wrapped up in comparison, I find that I slip into the trap of believing that God's love for me is also based on those things. So it's maybe also based on my status or my performance, whether I read my Bible enough, whether I pray enough, whether I've not shouted at God that week. And I slip into that way of thinking. But God's reminded me that he longs for us to be in a place where we don't feel like we have to change in any way in order to live in his love. He says that he has loved us with an everlasting love. And when our worth and our identity and who we are is so wrapped up in his love, we can live so secure in who we are. I think that being, that living in Christ means being defined by this radical love rather than by other people's opinions, by his love rather than our performance, being defined by a love that gave his life for us. Yesterday I was on the train and a girl a few rows away from me had her headphones in, and the song she was singing, The Eye of the Tiger, and the song was playing so loudly in her ears that she had no sense of how loud she was singing. And so she was just singing out for the whole carriage to hear. And it was so lush because she was about six and she was just, I was just about to sing it, but I'm not going to. She was just singing so loud and so proud, and that song was just so loud in her ears. And in that moment, God just reminded me, and he said that it's his desire that his voice of love would be so loud in our ears that we would share that love with, like, unashamed and so proud to the world, that we'd be like that girl, that God's voice would be so loud in our ears that we would just be so unashamed to sing out his love to the world. So that's what God has reminded me about being loved. And who I am in Christ is, I am loved, and so are you. And the second part of who I am in Christ that I just want to briefly talk about is that we are free from guilt and shame. So over the past month, I've felt like I have carried the weight of my sin and my shame. And the enemy tells us that we are to carry the weight of our shame and sin forevermore. He says that we don't measure up, that we're not good enough. And I think so many of us carry this weight every day in one form or another, whatever that is for you. And for me, I'd lost sight of the freedom that that I can have in Christ and that the cross brings. Jesus dying on the cross was a guilt offering for us. We are free because of the power of the cross. And when we live in guilt and shame, we have this part of us that we let people see. We have the part that we are at work or school or the social gathering. And then there's the rest of us, the part that is unseen, the part that is secret, the part that you would rather no one knew about. And I wonder what the rest of you is, the part that you don't let anyone see. We might feel scarred and burdened by the things that have happened to us, or the things that we've done that have added to those feelings of guilt and shame and the weight that we're carrying. Maybe it's the secret sin, the hurt that we've faced because of another person, past regrets, whatever it is. But we have a Saviour, Jesus, who knows what it is to have scars. He has them on his hands and his feet. And it just got me wondering why Jesus had scars anyway. Like, when he was resurrected, I just wonder whether it would make more sense for the risen Jesus to show himself in a body that is perfect and brand new and whole, like showing complete victory over death. But In John 20, Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." I've come to think that Jesus' scars show that he knows the depths of human pain and struggle. He carried those things on the cross, and yet he triumphed over the grave, and he lives in victory through the resurrection. And so Jesus invites us to do the same, to live in victory with him despite our scars. When we live in Christ, who we are in Christ is free, but free with scars. Scars that we're unashamed of, that say, "I have a healer who died for me." And these scars show what an amazing God we have, that I have them, but I live in freedom. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So often we let ourselves be weighed down by guilt and shame. And I think this verse just says, don't allow that. We were once a broken people, but now we've been made alive in Christ. Our guilt and shame is cancelled. And our value isn't measured by those scars anymore. It's measured by the love of a Father who died for us. We're free from condemnation. We are more than conquerors through Christ. So in Christ we are loved, and in Christ we are free. We can only be truly loved and truly free when we live in Christ. And I wonder what it would look like for you to live a life that is more deeply lived in and through Christ, to be lived more deeply in his love and in his freedom. I wonder what that would look like for you. So for the next 5 or 10 minutes, just turn to the people around you and maybe chat about that question. What would it look like for you to live a life that was lived more deeply in and through Christ?